Good evening to everyone. It's not very often that I get a chance to stand before you all. I welcome the elders for the opportunity to do this. I'd like to welcome all of our visitors. We're very glad to have you here. We welcome you back at any time that you have the opportunity to assemble with us. David this morning announced that filling in for Lowell will be David and myself and Kevin. And I was taught in speech class that you hide your weakest aspect between two strong points. And I'm really hoping that this is not a subtle hint to what they are expecting of me. I find it very difficult to select a topic when I'm just given pick a topic and go. Bible class to me seems a little bit easier. You know, you have a topic and you go with it. It was suggested that I go with a little bit of something we've been teaching in the back. I filled in for Lowell in the parenting class. But Wednesday night, the topic was women's role in the home. And I waded a little far into that pond for me. So we're gonna change the subject a little bit and go to something that we're hearing a lot of nowadays. Healthcare. Y'all may have heard a little something about that going on now. You may have a real strong opinion in your mind right now, healthcare. Well, there's a reason why we're hearing a lot about healthcare right now. When we think about healthcare and the amount of time that it occupies in our society, not only just waiting to see the doctor and spending the time in the doctor, going to get your medicine, also that you're going to get the test run, it's just a phenomenal amount of time is taken with healthcare. Physicians take an enormous amount of time to train. It takes them 8 to 12 years to reach the point where they can go into a practice. It takes other licensed healthcare professionals many years before they're credentialed to practice. There's a great deal of time involved with health sources of information. You go to any bookstore, you're going to see rows and rows of books about health and people that want to improve their health and ways to improve your health. There's cable channels that are out there about health. There's radio stations. There's people that specialize in special sections about health. A physician shared with Kevin and I that there are approximately 1 million journal articles written in 1 year regarding the current health state. He said if you actively spent 16 hours a day reading, it would take you many years to be current in this year. There are many sources of information about healthcare. The training involved, we spoke to this briefly about with some of the physicians and other healthcare professionals, they train extensively. There are many prestigious that train these physicians. They have to be recredentialed and trained in the newest and cutting-edge technology. And then probably the biggest reason we're hearing about this is cost. We'll start with the small numbers. The AMA, the American Medical Society, in 2007 suggested that the average physician comes out of medical school with $139,000 in debt. That's a big number, but that's not really the healthcare number we're looking at. Americans spend $33.9 billion per year, according to Consumer Reports, on holistic medicine. That's medicine they pay for that's most likely not covered by an insurance. In the book, The Top 10 Myths of American Healthcare, A Citizen's Guide, $286.5 billion are spent on prescription medicines. This is an enormous cost. So there's a lot of talk about healthcare and what's going on. But wouldn't it be great if our society in America folk put this much focus and attention on their spiritual health? What a tremendous teaching opportunity this would be. If TV was covering it, you could hear it everywhere on the radio. It just didn't matter. Wherever you turned, it was talking about what you're doing with your spiritual health. What can we do to improve your spiritual health? It would be great. In Parade today, in the magazine, there was a question posed for the article, "Is it your job to stay healthy?" Well, I would argue that it is your job to stay spiritually healthy. You're welcome to make your own opinion about your physical health. And God has a spiritual plan that He's put in place for our spiritual health. He has a plan that's very simple. You hear His gospel. You believe Jesus is the Son of God. You repent of your sins. You confess Jesus. You're baptized for remission of your sins. You remain faithful to God all of your days. Very simple plan. Yet there is much debate over it. People debate this plan. Abraham Lincoln once said to a group of people, he said, if you called a dog's tail a leg, how many legs would the dog have? Many people answered five. He says, no, it doesn't matter what you call the tail, it's still a tail. He'd have four legs. That's the same thing with God's plan. This is what He's given us. This is what it is. We do not need to mess with it. We need to take it for what it is. It is God's Word. So why is our spiritual health so important? You know, why should we spend a few minutes here tonight speaking about this? Or as I'm encouraging you, why should you spend every day and literally every minute about your spiritual life to protect it? Why should we do this? Philippians 2:12 tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Matthew 7 encourages to first take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We are commanded first not only to work out our own salvation, but to work it out so effectively that we can teach it to others. Not only teach it to others, but we're going to be held accountable for how we teach it to others. This has eternal consequence, and to me it seems very, very important that we work on our spiritual health. There's another reason that spiritual health is so important. It has to be very accurate. Hebrews 4:4-6 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. John 14:6, Jesus saying there, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's a very specific way that we increase our spiritual health, that we stay spiritually healthy. It's a very specific way. A lot of times we look at our physical bodies as having a soul within them, when really we should look at it as we have an eternal soul from God trapped inside of our physical bodies. And this soul is yearning to get home, and it wants to be to eternity. But how we treat it here on earth depends on what happens. Romans 14:12, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Hebrews 4:13, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. We will have to give an account for how we treat our soul and how we increase its health and how we take care of it. So looking back on some of the same things we looked at with our physical health, spiritual health has some things that are very similar. We're going to need to spend some time on it. Hebrews 10:24-25, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In 1 Corinthians 11, with Paul admonishing them there, the point we want to look at in 1 Corinthians 11:18 is when you come together as a church, the idea is we come together to spend time with each other. We need to spend time in God's Word. We need to spend time in prayer. Somebody made the suggestion about practice, that we can't find our hours anymore. They have to be minutes. Something happened to hours. They're all gone. There's no hours anymore. We have got to find the time to work on our spiritual health. We have a source of information. And I say source specifically. There is one. Does anybody recognize? Well, I don't know. That's kind of an open question. When I saw this book, I thought it was a PDR, which is a physician desk reference. I saw it in a doctor's office. It says it's a physician's life reference, the patient edition, by the world's greatest physician. It's the Bible. Although the only change I would make it to is the greatest physician. I thought that was a very interesting piece that if a doctor would have in his office. I asked for a copy. He was giving it to patients. What a wonderful source of information we have for our spiritual health. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Lastly, 2 Peter 1:3-4, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful nature. How can we neglect our spiritual health when we have all the tools we need right here? Think about the number of books a doctor has to carry around. One, it's amazing that they don't have to lift weights to carry the books. Some of the books are huge and they're numerous. They have to refer to them. They keep them to refer to them. All we have for our spiritual life is right here. Everything we need. Right here. And most times it sits in our house. Just sits there. And we don't pick it up. Or we pick it up and carry it to services with us. We should pick it up every day and read it and spend time with God. Training. It's going to take some training. In 1 Timothy. Timothy is admonished there to train himself, starting in verse 6. If you put on these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of good doctrine that you have followed, having nothing to do with irreverent silliness. Rather, train yourself for godliness. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul himself says, "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Brethren, we are foolish if we do not think that we need training. Paul says he needed training. He encouraged Timothy, the young preacher, he needed training. We need to train ourselves. We train ourselves by looking to the Word, looking to each other, teaching others. We have to be ready. The cost. The cost of spiritual health. We covered some big numbers with physical health. I wonder how big these numbers are going to be. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hebrews 9:12, speaking of Jesus, "He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and a calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." Jesus has paid the cost for us. It's the free gift of God. It's free in that sense. It's free in the sense that we're also free to choose whether to do it or to not. God wants all to come back, come to him, to obey his word. But he also is free to let us go and to not choose that way. There's some that might call this a cost. I found it interesting. This is a paraphrase of a C.S. Lewis statement talking that was entitled "The Full Treatment." It says, "People come to Jesus to be cured of a particular sin. He will cure it, but he will not stop there. That may be all you ask, but if once you called him in, he will give you the full treatment." Tie that with Ephesians 4, where we're asked that we must, starting in verse 22, "to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires." Verse 23, "and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Finally, in the parable of the counting the cost in Luke 14, Jesus summing up there, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Many will look at this as a cost, but if we have truly decided to put all of our efforts into our spiritual health, this will not be a cost. This will be a necessity. Some look at it as, "Oh, I got to give up this." Others look at, "I get to give myself to Jesus and do what he wants to do." We must take care of our spiritual health. So despite whether you're a Christian who has decided that they would obey God's plan for your spiritual health or his plan of salvation, or whether you're someone studying his word and you're trying to determine what you need to do with your spiritual health, there will come a time when you realize, "I'm not spiritually healthy. I need to make a change." So we need to develop an action plan. The first thing I will mention to you is that we need to be convinced that we're wrong. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." David, speaking to Nathan in 2 Samuel 12:13, says, "I have sinned against the Lord." Romans 7:24, Paul saying, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin?" This sounds like men who are willing to accept the fact that they are wrong and they want to make a change. Say you're a 40-year-old soul guy who likes to play basketball with some young, occasionally, sometimes try to do, and I tweak my knee pretty good, hypothetically, and I stumble around a bit, and I say, "Oh, I'm fine, no problem." 3 or 4 weeks go by, "Yeah, it's fine, can't climb the steps without straightening my leg, you know." And finally, somebody has to say, "Look, your leg's not okay. You need to go get it looked at." And you're like, "Okay, all right, fine. Very similar with our spiritual life. We have to realize that something's wrong, and we have to take action. If we do not take an action, we will be unhealthy. Just as we don't take action when things are physically wrong, if things are spiritually wrong, we will be unhealthy. But we need to be more than be convinced. We need to take action. On that hurt knee, you need to actually make a call and make an appointment. But what if you say, I kind of feel a little bit better. I'm not going to keep that appointment. I'm not going to follow through with that. Receptionists don't like that, by the way. If you're not going to keep your appointment, call them. Just don't not show up. We got to take action. Let's look in Acts 8, verse 36, talking here about Philip and the eunuch. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Acts 16:33, talking about the Philippian jailer, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. This sounds like examples of people who took action on their spiritual health. They realized they were wrong, and they made changes. Again, we don't take an action, we remain unhealthy. But once we take action, we have to implement some change. We have to follow through. Following with the knee situation, say the doctor says you follow through with the appointment. He says, okay, you need to rest it 6 to 8 weeks, do some therapy. You're like, no, that's not going to work. That doesn't work in my schedule. You know what? That knee remains unhealthy because I don't implement the change that was offered. In Acts 19, they're talking about those in Ephesus, and a number who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. These people practiced magic, and they realized that was going to be a problem. They needed to implement some change. They burned their books. That's some pretty significant change, literally and physically. It said that a piece of silver was a day's work, a day's wage. Somebody figured it out, says it's about $6 million. That's a lot of books burning. Think about another person who implemented change. How about Apollos? In Acts 18, it says he taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he only knew the baptism of John. Then he was taken aside, and it was explained to him the way of God more accurately, and he became a healthy servant of God. So much so that we heard that Paul urged him to visit Corinth, and then later he's encouraged to supply his every need so that he does not lack anything. How do we react when somebody pulls us aside and tries to correct us? What are you trying to say to me? You know, what place is it of yours to talk to me? This man implemented the changes that he was given. So when we do this, we become spiritually healthy. We become spiritually healthy, which is ultimately our goal. But once we decide we're going to be spiritually healthy, we may have to conduct some spiritual maintenance. We've got to find a way that we've got to continue to stay healthy. We don't want to become unhealthy again. Like to suggest, there are some steps for that. We need to study God's Word. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming." When we study God's Word, it develops our faith. And when we strengthen our faith, it encourages our confidence so that we can be, as Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." That sounds like a confident man. We have to study God's Word. We have to teach others. We have to come to church services. We have to listen to the Word preached. We have to go to Bible class. We've got to teach Bible classes. You have to study the Word. If you don't know what to do, how can you do it? How can you be spiritually healthy if you don't know what to do? We also need to talk with God. Think about the people you know the best. Are they people that you talk to maybe once a year, once a month? Or are they people you talk to on a regular basis? You need to talk to God. He tells us. He wants us to talk to Him. Tell Him your concerns. Tell Him your cares. He'll help you. Talk to Him. Listen to Him talk to you through His Word. Read the Word. Let Him talk to you. Read it. Read it like He's talking to you. Put your name in some of the places. Talk to Him. That's how we can maintain our lives spiritually. James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working." Great power. How often do we use this power to help others and to increase our spiritual life? We need to manage our fears and concerns and our past. Think about someone who has come from the world and they've decided they're going to walk with God and follow His plan. Do you think those people are a little scared about what they're going to experience? Are they a little concerned about some of the things they may do? Do you think they may be a little worried about their past as well? Like, what will people think? Think about the Apostle Paul. He persecuted the church, God's church. and turned around and became a useful servant for that. Do you think he worried about what he had done in his past? This is speculation. I would say it did creep into his mind occasionally. But he built his faith and confidence that God could forgive him. And he pushed that away as far as he could and did not dwell on it. And that is speculation. I do not know that for a fact. But looking at the human, as humans, we've all done things that we're not proud of. We have to look to God, trust Him to forgive us, and try to concentrate on other things and not let it take over our lives. We need to have realistic goals and grow. If you become a Christian or you've moved here and you say, okay, my goal is to preach a lesson, become a song leader, teach a Bible class, have everybody over within a year, you're setting yourself up for failure. Take small goals at a time, reach them, and you grow. The boys play the Wii game. They have this, I won't get it right, that you do this thing and you get a fitness age. You're a certain age when you do it. You know, you have a fitness age. It would be a bit scary, frankly, if we had that in the hall. You answer a few questions, it gives you your spiritual age. I wonder what some of ours would be. We may have some young people with an age that's more mature than some of our older members. We need to grow. We need to set goals that can help us grow so that we can be involved. Talking about setting goals, Galatians 5, 22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You know, some people do have all these qualities at one time. Some people just get love. Some people have patience, kindness. Some people don't get anything. We have to develop them. The idea is, as Christians, we develop so that we have all these things and we have them fully. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. It's an addition. You keep adding, you keep adding, you keep adding. You're not static. You're always moving to keep your spiritual life healthy. Say, lastly, if you're having some problems, you would want to change your environment. A few questions to think about with this. With whom do I spend my time? Do you spend the majority of your time with Christians or people of the world? Where do I spend my time? Will this be places Jesus would be proud of? Will this be places you take your children and let them learn from people? What am I putting into my mind and body? When you're all by yourself, nobody can see you, what are you doing? Is it profitable for your spiritual health? How do I utilize my resources? Not just money, your talent. Do you use your talents for the Lord? Or do you waste them on spiritual endeavors? I'm sorry, worldly endeavors. I caught that one. Do you waste them on worldly endeavors? Do you truly hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do you really miss services? Or do you say, man, if I don't go tonight, they're going to call me and then I'm going to have to, that's a big mess. So I'll just go to services. That's a whole lot easier. Or do you say, I got to go. I got to hear what's being preached. I need to go to Bible class. I want to hear what's going on in class. I need some help. I want to praise the Lord. I want to worship God. I'm looking forward to it. My question to you is, do your answers to these questions help your spiritual health? Do your answers to these questions help your spiritual health? God's spiritual plan is very simple. There it is. Scriptures for you to look at. So why is our spiritual health so important? We've covered all that. Hebrews 10:26 adds to that. It says, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. This is the plan. There is nothing else coming to save our souls. God has implemented this plan. This is it. If you don't base your spiritual health on God's plan, you're going to end up eternally lost. I'm sure we're going to hear more about physical health care. I really do. I think that you're going to hear quite a bit over the summer and into the fall. I challenge you that every time you hear a conversation about physical health care, think about your spiritual health. Just turn around and say, what am I doing for my spiritual health? Kind of puts things in perspective. I tend to get worked up about healthcare. I'm in that industry. So I can get myself agitated quite quickly with that. This lesson, as usual, has benefited me greatly. Spiritual health is where it's at. Spiritual health is where it's at. And what they do with our physical health care, how we take care of it, spiritual health is what matters. Maybe there's someone here who's not a Christian, and you've never heard this plan, never seen this plan. You want to know more about it. Find somebody and study with them. I'll talk with you. If you don't want to listen to me talk anymore, we'll find somebody to talk with you. If you're ready to make a change, tonight would be a good time to do that. If you're a Christian who has adopted this, who has taken on Christ and have been working in your spiritual life and your spiritual health and you need some help, we can do that tonight. Matthew 27:22, Pilate poses a question to the Jews. Pilate said to them, "What shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." Brothers and sisters, we answer this question tonight. But we answer it in the form of, what will we do with Jesus who is the Christ? We make a decision tonight, whether we serve him or whether we won't. We make that decision. What shall I do with Jesus who is the Christ? If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?